Christopher Media, the Weedsman Podcast.
All right, man. It's time.
It's time. Are we ready for the list?
The list.
So
we all made this list earlier. Just hit around. Maybe got a little too high.
Well, you making know, this list. We did get too high because we only made half the list.
The Weedsman Podcast, every Friday on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. If you like this show, please tell a friend. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
That shirt's going to be distracting, because I just want to...
My pimp-ass shirt.
Left, right, up, down, A, B, 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 A. Select start.
Get some boxers with it over my
Get
crotch.
Get those 30 lives in Contra.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Life Force? No?
I'm sorry.
Huh?
Another Midway game.
I know
it was like Galaga, only not like Galaga, kind of like Defender. It's a little side-scrolling, like spaceship shooting game.
Okay.
And much like Contra, where you could get power-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
Same concept. You would build up like lasers or a number of shots and shit like that and fly around.
Well, what's amazing is it the Contra code.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Konami.
Konami was a video game company.
Yeah. So
No. Life Force is the name of the game.
Huh?
I said it was Midway. It was Konami. Was the name of the company.
Well, that code, the
That's a Konami
up, down,
code.
Up, down, left, right. Yeah, it works on games to this day. A lot of people have aped that.
Yeah, but that was the Konami thing originally.
Media. Let's make some noise. From AsmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Yeah, pick your spots.
What's up?
It's an opportunity. I picked it. Hi, it's Unregimented. I'm Chris.
This is Aaron.
I'm Rich.
15, right?
That's also the date.
Oh, wow.
But now when you'll hear this.
Number 15 on 15, and you'll hear it on 18.
There you go.
Part of it anyway. Well, what a
man.
Twice in 1 week too. By the way, we usually knock these out in one day, middle of the week, one big super session. This week,
that's my fault. Sorry about that, guys.
No, that was my fault actually. We would have had two episodes out of last session if computer didn't crash.
It's Bill Gates' fault. You have a Windows-based program,
God
right?
Damn it.
Steve Jobs wouldn't have let you down.
I was about to say, yeah. When are we going to start worshiping at the altar of Jobs again?
Oh, I always do. As you can see, I have my iPad, my Mac, and my iPhone.
And we have sweet black pussy.
I know.
Meowing at our feet.
Cat in the studio.
Kitty at my foot. And I'm not going to kick it, but come here, kitty.
We keep it professional here. Not only classy, but what? Professional. Animals wandering through the studio.
We bring bags of beer. We keep it whiskey tango. Yeah.
That's how we do it. Hey, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing Unregimented on Facebook and following us on Twitter at Unregimented Pod. You can also email unregimented at ChristopherMedia.net. You can subscribe to Unregimented on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, we've not forgotten about you. You can find Unregimented on Stitcher Radio. You can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. You can help to save podcasting by clicking through the Amazon banner and bookmarking the page. When you buy something, Amazon will donate a part of each purchase to the Podcast Legal Defense Fund, helping to save podcasting from the, let's see, I've said assholes, I've said fuckheads, I've said like, from the fuck faces at Personal Audio. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner, ChristopherMedia.net. So we used to That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows, like this one, Unregimented. Every Monday and Thursday, the Weedsman Podcast that comes out every Friday and sometimes Tuesdays. Because high people ramble, sometimes for half an hour, about the same fucking subject. And then we put it out on Tuesday. Eminem Question Everything, they come out every Sunday, and the Toddzilla X-Pod. It's pretty much whenever he gets around to it, although... Last 2 weeks, he's given us...
Fantastic material.
Yeah, and he's
loved it.
He He found a clip of me and him back from, I now have counted as like two lifetimes ago. Sounded so young.
I was still so full of hope.
I was still so full of hope. I thought I was going to have this great career in radio. Boy, was I wrong. Well, no, I got podcasting. It's cool because I can swear, not beholden to anybody. I'm the boss. No one's going to fire me if coming to work high. In fact, if I don't come to work high for one of them, I'm in trouble.
I think coming to work high is encouraged here.
Yeah. It's like policy. Like, we drug test if you have clean urine. We then ask you to leave. But anyway, when you sign up for... once again, I should be a paid spokesperson. That's going to... Sure, HostGator appreciates that. When you click through the HostGator link, you're helping me support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings one-day fantasy sports. Football season. Woo. No being locked into one team for an entire season. You can draft a new team every day. Christopher Media listeners winning real money every day at DraftKings. Fantasy football is back in a big way with their $5 million kickoff bash. Please click through the banner, ChristopherMedia.net, and sign up today. So what a fucked up week, huh?
This has been a crazy week.
Yes, sir.
We've got just locally a storm where we had record number of inches. How many inches?
He means rain.
Yeah, rain. Inches of rain. I was going to get to that part. And
Southfield had six.
It was like 4 inches in a half hour.
Southfield had six.
Yeah, we had historic rain over the week here.
Yeah, everything was flooded out.
And you guys all in the freeways. And you guys in St. Clair Shores. I don't understand how you're not underwater.
It's we were talking about this earlier. Because of where we're at, I believe, is why we are not underwater. Yeah, like, we're ready for the lake to reclaim the land. Like, everything is sloped the right way. We got elevation. All the stopgaps in place. Yeah.
Well, at least for now. Well,
yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen.
But, yeah, the parts of the area that became impassable were generally, like, they're below sea. A lot of freeways.
Yeah.
For starters, but generally too, just part of they're more inland. They're just flat suburban urban type area. Whereas instead around here, I'm still surprised where we're at. We have a basement.
Well, west side of Detroit got hit really hard, and yes. I have a guy that I work with has a house that's closer to that side. He said that he witnessed the water start to rise and. Then all of a sudden, like real slow, like they just had a little bit of a flooding issue and, you know, they already got, you know, something in progress. I don't know who you call, actually, when that happens, if anybody. He said he watched it go from 2 inches all the way up to 3 feet and then back down to 2 inches in the process of about 20 minutes and just watched in horror. As he said he knew that he lived in a flood prone area, had these bins, and the bins just like elevated with the water and tipped over.
Oh, I was reading all kinds of crazy articles. I was reading about the people were in a restaurant in Warren at the Buddy's.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how they were in the restaurant eating and then all of a sudden they're seeing water at the windows, like garbage cans flying by, people getting stuck in the parking lot.
I saw a picture of a shark on Woodward.
Shark Week Detroit edition.
Yeah.
No, that seal that everybody sees.
When I was on 696, about 125 yards in front of me on the underpass, cars submerged. And that's when I said,
yep,
fuck it, I'm turning around.
Rich had personal experience with this.
Who is it that showed me the picture of the, it was like a Cadillac that was elevated up on its hydraulics. And it was like, who's stupid now, bitch? And he's going through the flood, like the water's just above his tire line.
Well, that's the other thing. I used to own a pickup truck. And it was like a full-size, like, big, like, I have a small penis, so I have a big pickup truck. Pickup truck.
It was a Ram, wasn't it?
No, it was a GMC.
Oh, okay.
I
wanted a Ram.
No, Dodge's got too much suspension issues. Yeah. That's my experience. But anywho, I just saw these fuckers in these trucks just plowing through. And literally on Harper, the wake shook my car. And, like, I heard, like, water. Like, if you're ever in a boat, And you get someone just goes by and you hear the wake and it's slapping the side of your boat. That's what it was like. But I was in a car on a fucking street in a major American city. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. I mean, I literally rolled down the window and I stuck my hand out and up to my wrist.
Yeah.
I was in water. And I'm like, how is my car still running? I thought if you submerged your exhaust pipe, that was it. Your car is done. Like it's you have to let that shit dry out.
Yeah, water actually gets up into the engine, but your intake for the engine it sits up high. Like on mine, it's like right when you open the hood, there's this little thing that sticks up.
Well, all I know is that I plowed through that shit, got here, did the last show, and was happy as fuck I got here because I didn't think I was going to make it. It took 5.5 hours, but didn't think I was going to make it. And then, of course, leaving, I got to meet your wonderful PD, your police department here in St. Clair Shores.
Say ours like it's our personal PD.
Hey, fuck it. You come to my neck of the woods and they pull you over. You can fucking say whatever you want. I'm just saying.
But before we jump on the police.
Yeah, that's a magic key word for this week, buddy.
Did you guys hear that that Ford retired the Econoline van, the E-Series van?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's gonna
no
kill it. That's a line in a Clutch song.
Yeah.
Never trust a white man driving a black van. And in his Ford Econoline. Yeah. So
I guess that was a kind of a slang term for it, but it's officially known as the E-Series.
Yeah.
But yeah, no more. I mean,
no more Chomo vans?
Yeah, those things are everywhere.
Those things are like the preferred van of child molesters, it seems like.
Who's going to offer little kids?
And people trying to earn a living all over the place, too.
Yeah.
And also bands touring all over the place.
You know what? Excellent point.
People living down by the river.
You'll have a lot of time to do doobie rolling when you're living in a van down by the river. Oh, I can't see too well, Dad. Is that Bill Shakespeare over here? But
no, I don't know. Kind of an American legend, though, you know.
Yeah,
sad, it's kind of like the Woody. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of.
What are creeps going to offer little children candy in now?
Well,
hey, van makers out there.
There's
an opportunity.
Yep. So Dodge is going to come in with the Chomo van.
Oh,
no windows, blacked out everything where there is a window, and just free puppies comes like standard on the side of the van.
Free puppies, the other side's free ice cream.
You knew the deal when you took the candy. Get in a vehicle.
Or the hippies will start driving them around.
Well, yeah.
They'll keep them going.
What, remember the VW one that had, like, you could kick out, like, a tent-type area with it? And that was iconic for the 60s, like, the whole Woodstock era.
I had a friend of my ex-wife drove around for a while a VW thing. You ever seen one of those?
Literally a thing? That's what it was called?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's like a Jeep. It's almost as big as a Humvee. It's nowhere near well as built.
Really?
It's like a Jeep where you can take the whole thing apart with a wrench. It's just supposed to be like, it's kind of like their off-road, any situation type of vehicle, but the thing was completely unreliable. Let's go up to the store. We'll take my car. I mean, driving around, fucking overheated. Like, this is great. We look awesome by the side of the road. By the way,
we look good on the side of the road with the broke down vehicle. But
oh shit, overheat
very far.
What does the manual say? It says to put on your Ray-Bans and lean against the side of the car until somebody asks you if you need help.
What's up? How you
doing? Then tell them no. It's cool. I got it.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's classic kind of line.
It's a neckerchief, you dick.
Hey, either way, you look gay.
I know. I'm just going to say this. I'm surprised you don't know a neckerchief. We were talking about this earlier.
Are you supposed to take that?
No.
You have offended me.
I'm offended for you.
I think how I
God
should.
God damn it. That's not what I meant.
I think the proper response is for me to remove one glove and slap you across the face with it.
That's not what I meant. I'm just saying, like, because you're a very well put together gentleman. That's how come I was shocked earlier when
he's hitting on
neckerchief.
No.
Never done that. Or yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty utilitarian when it comes to even dressing up. You know, a tie maybe.
I was when Chris brought me over earlier. I was like, I don't know, doing something in the kitchen. And I look and I'm like, whose room is that? He goes, it's Aaron's. I'm like,
looks like shit. Like shit
that's
everywhere.
Shocking. I figured everything would be like labeled and like,
no.
You strike me as a very organized person, and I'm.
I think he's surprised you like pussy.
I can be.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Really? No.
Yeah, I get that.
No,
I get that.
No, I did hear you do kind of enjoy the yellow fever, though.
I enjoy women of all color. I don't know what you've heard on this or any other previous episode. But
and you also like our pigmentally challenged gingers. You like redheads?
No, where did you get that from?
Really?
Why?
From you? We were talking about on the other podcast about I like dark-haired women, dark-complected, dark eyes. Completely opposite
of
what I like.
The evil genius who got to watch porn and keep track of what race the naked women were.
Yes, and you were like, that's completely opposite. I'm like, well, no problem. We will not have a problem
if we find
a woman.
Wait, I like dark-haired women. I like Jews, mostly.
Do you walk up and go?
I would like to thank everybody for being quiet so I can perfectly isolate that when I edit this.
Well, no, I'm just wondering, how do you like just walk up and go, what's up? How's your bat mitzvah? You know, I mean, how do you find out they're Jewish? I mean, it's not like,
okay,
that's not a race. That's
a
religion.
I don't know. You're right. Absolutely. It's all in the nose. I just like the nose. They don't even have to be Jew. It's not racist because they don't even have to be Jew. As long as they have like a bit of a bump in the nose,
Well, they could be Italian.
Yeah, that happens.
It happens. I have to say,
some Arabic women.
Oh. There we go. Yes, you and I are tracking right now.
I'm on the same page.
I think we might have had
some miscommunication last time because I like dark haired women. I like pretty aggressive women. Like.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I
should move to Israel if I wasn't afraid of moms.
No judgment here. Well, yeah, you moved to Israel. I think everyone who is born in Israel has to serve in the Israeli military.
Yeah,
like, you have to.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to find some aggressive women over there.
Fuck yeah.
Throw you down and scream all you want. It ain't going to help. They will fuck the shit out of you. It's like that Family
Guy
episode.
Wait, where is this? Can I go there?
It's like that Family Guy episode where Lois starts taking karate and she beats up fucking Peter and then next morning.
Oh, yeah, he's
she was the man.
Yeah.
and Brian's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Last night, Lois was the man.
Well, you know,
this is mine. This is where my babies come from.
I've never been to Israel or even talked to anybody who was from there. But what you do hear about, like, okay, so make jokes about, you know, the bombs, terrorist threats in Israel and the whole Palestine conflict. A lot of what I read and hear on the news about the situation, as far as from the average average Israeli,
yes,
is that there's very much a sense of trying to just make life as normal as possible. Not to ignore what's going on, but not to, in a way, like, not to let them win by giving in and being cowered by the terrorism, you know?
So, in other words, what we were talking about 10 years ago in the U.S., about, like, don't let the terrorists win. You can't be afraid of this. You have to go about your daily life.
There was some of that, but that was like, go out and spend. Just focus on the economy.
Go spend money, yeah. Here's your $500 tax break. You know, and it's like, well, thanks, what the fuck am I going to do with that?
Let me put it this way.
I was poor, I only got $300.
Okay, if there were twin towers in Israel that terrorists took down with planes, it would not take a decade to get it back up.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
It would be up ASAP. That would be top priority because it's a big fuck you. Like, you can hurt us, but you can't break us down. You can't destroy our way of life. We will overcome anything.
Well, and see, the whole Israeli-Pakistan thing.
Yeah. Do we want to touch that?
I don't know.
Is there anything new you can say about it? There's new developments, but is it really new?
I'm not...
They're breaking down the same way they have before.
That's one of those things I'm not sure how I feel about. Like, I see both sides.
I know, yeah. I absolutely agree. That's why I don't talk a lot about it. Yeah.
And that's not... It's either... Especially you get someone who's very pro-Israel, you're either with us or you're against us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's black, it's white. There's no middle ground. And I'm like, you can't see the other side.
Well, to be fair,
you can't understand where they're coming from.
But what if your neighbor was constantly shouting death threats next door to you and somebody came over and said, well, can't you see his...
Shit, have you met my neighbor? That's pretty much what happens. I'm not even joking. I got a dent in my car because he came over and kicked it when I was asleep one night.
Right. So, I mean, somebody comes over and says, well, can't you see from his side? Fuck no. The guy's a fucking maniac.
Yeah. And that's... It's... And, oh, God. I'm showing my Irish right now by saying this.
Yeah.
It's like the thing with...
You drunk
with,
already?
With North... Have you not seen me all day, sir? But no, it's like the thing with Northern Ireland and the IRA. You're supposed to come down on one side and be very, you know, and, mm-hmm. and go, no, those are terrorists. Those are horrible people. And
I don't believe that.
And I, yeah, exactly.
I don't believe that they're ultimately right in their in most of their tactics either.
Oh, no, without a doubt.
I think there are terrorists among them. I think there's people that have used, there's always, anytime you get an organization that takes that step, that feels like they've been forced, that their back's against the wall and they have no other recourse but violence, you will have psychopaths that will use that to their
advantage.
They'll
use it as an excuse.
Right.
Like, oh, I want to kill people.
Right.
And here's my excuse.
Right. Just like, I don't believe that the army is full of psychopaths.
But there are psychopaths in the army.
But if you want to, hey, legally kill somebody, well, here's
your chance. Yeah.
Definitely. And I believe that, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it's like in the army. Are there any armed services for that matter? I'm sure they have some kind of system for these people probably make themselves pretty evident.
Well,
in most cases.
Yes and no.
As much
there's a, you can a buddy of mine who is pretty much a lifer.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's going to retire from the military. He's going to do his 25, 30, get out, get his pension, whatever. He describes it like this. He goes, "The military is the perfect place for you not to grow up. If you don't want to grow up and you don't want to be an adult, join the military because you're told when to get up, what to eat, when to eat. Everything's laid out for you. It's almost like...
It's a takes over for your parents. It's people who can't handle being on your own.
Yes, yes. And it very much so, it's like prison life in a certain way of you become institutionalized. That's the only... Like, remember, okay, we've all seen the Shawshank Redemption, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember when?
Oh no! Wait, I just saw Ace Ventura.
totally non-sequitur, but yeah, not the Shawshank Redemption at all. But.
Shawshank Redemption.
But no. Right. Well, no. that one went over my head until you did that. Thank you. But no. When the older gentleman gets out. Before, and this is like halfway through the movie, he gets out and he goes, I don't know how to deal with life.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to prison because it's what I know. It's what I understand. The service is like that if you need that. You know what I'm saying? So there's people that join and they just fit right in. You're up at this time. You're doing this. It's set up that way. And yes, you can. You have people who are attracted to it. The problem, Doug Stanhope said it best. He goes, mm-hmm. Look, I support the troops, but on a one-on-one basis, if I meet this guy and he's like, yeah, I'm a combat vet and I like him, I support him. But then you got these fucking knuckle dragon, you know, dude bros who are like, I just want to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. Fuck him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what? You belong in the fucking army. In fact, put your ass on the front fucking line and you'd be a fucking bullet catcher.
I think that's what I was trying to get at, even though, like I said, I don't know how it's set up. But those are the guys that you kind of like, oh, you're so gung-ho. Yeah. Go ahead, motherfucker.
You use some Semper Fi, motherfuckers.
You take that bullet. You show me where this sniper is, and I'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, and the thing I find amazing that people who have hardly any experience with the military, what they don't understand is like, okay, Marine Recon, their entire job is to go in, get reconnaissance, get information, and get out without ever firing a shot, without ever being seen. Their job is not to kill, but they're some of the most highly trained killers on the planet. But their job is to not do that. Their job is to go in, swift, silent, deadly is their motto. You know, you go in, you get the job done, you come out, you never fire a shot. And people get this like mentality about the military, like, oh, these guys are fucking, they're going to go in and they're going to shoot up the place and blah, blah, blah. Maybe an 0311, maybe your average rifleman. You know,
an 0311.
That's the military. In the military, you have 0300 is infantry. 0311 is a rifleman. So that's their designation.
I thought it was just really early.
No. But no, I mean,
so you gotta get up at 0300.
Fuck that. I don't care if Godsmack's got a good fucking song for us. I ain't getting up no 3 o'clock in the morning. Fuck that. And fuck the black dude from fucking Major League who's doing the voiceover.
Yeah. Navy. We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
You know, now rub some of that chicken bone out.
Yeah, where's Joe Boo now?
What? Yeah! That's why I put him in that chair.
But seriously, okay, just to go back to the Israeli,
okay,
Pakistan thing. Okay, yeah, you have to serve. You have to serve. You have to serve if you're an Israeli citizen. That is not what we have here. We have what we call.
I believe also Germany does a 1 year for their kids coming out of high school.
Well, the last time Germany got a military together, we kind of were like, no. You know what I'm saying? It's not a good idea for Germany. So it's probably more of a pub, like a...
They have some sort of service, right?
I'm pretty sure if someone goes, hey, I like that blonde-haired boy over there, we just fucking... beat him down. Don't even let him fucking start thinking this shit again.
Anyway.
What I'm saying is, in Israel, you have to serve. And when you have conscription like that, you have people who don't necessarily want to be there, but they have to.
Mm-hmm.
We have...
But they also have a kind of an attitude of like, I'll do my 2 years, everybody's got to do it.
Yes.
And I think they have more pride in their country than the average American citizen.
Definitely, definitely. And not that bullshit flag-waving America, love it, pride. It's, we have what me and my friends who grew up in the non-draft era, we call the poverty draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have in America. We go, you got a high school diploma? Well, we're going to pay for college, and we're going to do this. So come join us, and here's 30 fucking grand for it. And it's a poverty draft. You go over to Israel, it's your duty to serve. You have to do it. And it's talk to anybody who was in the Vietnam era who was drafted, and they didn't have a choice, and you'll talk to a very different vet than someone who joined... Now, you know what I'm saying? It's a different mentality. People that join because they feel like either I'm going to get college paid for, or they join out of a sense of obligation. Whereas if you're drafted, you have no choice. They beat nationalism in your fucking head because, hey, look, you have to serve. So we're going to fucking, when we had the draft, I mean, okay. Perfect example. You gentlemen had to, when you turned 18, you had to sign up for the Selective Service.
Mm-hmm. I got a free razor because of it.
That?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a funny story about that, too.
We don't have a draft, but you had to sign up for one. in case we do, and you know, start the draft again.
It asked if I would ever consider signing up for the for any of the armed forces, and I put yeah, right. And one of the officers came over to me and addressed me personally and asked why I hated my country.
Oh God, Jesus!
See what's with that?
I swear to God, that's what he asked me.
Don't guy. See, now I have a problem with that kind of mentality. Well, yes, you know, that's kind of like the arrogant.
I was thinking more like he would look at me and go, yeah, right.
But no, it's like,
we get pre-Captain America over here? Sure.
Nerd. Steve Rogers before the, yeah, the super soldier serum.
Nerds everywhere are laughing at that joke.
Yeah, I'm laughing. So there's proof right there. Oh,
but,
shit.
But that by mentality.
Way, dude, I'm sorry, but that was funny. You pretty much nailed it on that one.
Didn't he fight so you can have that opinion? And shouldn't he just kind of keep it to himself?
Yeah.
And some could argue maybe you should just keep that to yourself. But maybe, I mean.
Well, or didn't he fight to voice his opinion?
That's one of the.
We're like a dog chasing its tail.
Uh huh.
Well, that's one of the things.
Yeah, these are a lot of the arguments that we come across, especially when Chris and I come to heads on different sides of issues. It's usually when personal freedoms rub up against each other. This person has their freedoms, and this person has their freedoms, and they. When we talked about the call to prayer, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh no, I remember. That's burned into my memory.
I had to bring it up again.
Well, no, it's just because I felt in waves coming off of Chris across from me at the table, just like, and I'm like, wow, dude. I flat out said, you have some serious rabbit ears for Dr. Drew. He's got some serious rabbit ears for fucking religion.
Yeah, yeah.
We all do. We all have our one pet subject or, you know, a subject that
I can
we're
ignore.
Passionate about.
Yeah, but I'm not pissed off by religion, only when it's kind of pushed in my face. Like I was forced to go to church on holidays as a child, and I would sit there and go, I'm feeling like I'm being talked down to. Like, well, I'm being lectured. Yeah. It feels like you're being lectured by an idiot.
You're poking the bear over here.
It's like you're being lectured by an idiot, and you can't say anything because it's your girlfriend's father. That's what it's like.
That's pretty apt. I never thought of it that way. That's apt. Yes, that's a good one.
Everything feels like you just got caught masturbating with religion
at all times.
It's like the feeling they're going for at all times. With everything you do, they try to give you the feeling of just getting caught masturbating. Well, by your grandma.
Well, and
your mom.
To kind of fold it into
on
the
Christmas.
Whole.
Yeah, why do you hate Jesus?
Why do you hate Jesus? You're masturbating on Jesus' birthday, really?
It's a tribute.
Well, if they saw some of the things I've done with some exes on Jesus' birthday, masturbation would be the least of their fucking concerns. I'm just saying. That's another show. But to fold it back into the whole thing, because it really, the Israel and Palestine thing, what it comes down to is it is a fucking religious war. We don't want to say that. We want to say it's a land war. No, it's a war over fucking a piece of land they're fighting for because we're the chosen people.
The Palestinians believe that Israel just being there is an affront to God.
Yes.
And that they should be wiped from the earth.
Yes, and so, in the Israelites,
it's a religious war,
exactly,
by no uncertain terms.
But every time I hear about it talked about, it's always, you know, well, religion is secondary. It's a land war. It's a war over the Gaza Strip. It's like, no, it's not. It's fucking.
That religion is the reason why the land's important.
Exactly. Exactly. It's fucking Toddzilla, fucking trademark Sky Daddy. People fighting over fucking what Sky Daddy they fucking believe in. Okay? And
the other day, that Dr. Gad Saad on Corolla.
Yeah,
it's exactly the shit he was talking about.
Yes, yes.
Is my invisible friend is greater than your invisible friend. Or, to get more crude and base about it, our friend George Carlin. My God has a bigger dick than your God. That's what it's all about.
That's what pisses me the fuck off is that it is the 21st fucking century. We have put a man on the moon. We have man-made objects leaving our fucking known solar system. And yet we're fighting over fucking invisible fucking thing.
About shit that may or may not exist.
You have your right to your religion until your religion starts imposing its will on other people. It's the only way I can look at it and go, that's how I can live with the fact that people are religious. Like, you have every right to believe what you believe and practice how you want until it fucking steps on my doorstep and starts telling me how I can and can't live. Now I got a fucking problem.
So you believe Jehovah's Witness are...
Hey, you know what? If the JWs want to fucking worship in their fucking kingdom halls, whatever the fuck it's called...
Yeah, but going door to door is an affront to your personal freedom.
Get off my fucking porch, okay, yeah, Eddie? Yeah, sorry. It's Saturday morning.
But that's part of their freedom of practicing their religion is... Everyone's an apostle. Hey, and everyone delivers the message.
I understand it, but I'm going to tell you what. My buddy who lives in Detroit, it's amazing. Not a whole lot of Jehovah's Witnesses come to that neighborhood.
Oh,
okay. Because they know they get in halftime and be like, motherfucker, what you doing on my fucking doorstep, fucking knocking on my door at 7 in the morning on a fucking Saturday? You're going to get shot. I mean, that's just all there is to it.
Hey,
the Mormons that come in his neighborhood.
By the way, real quick. The Mormons will remember that. Worked for us. This worked. Mount Clemens. 4 years. Put a picture of Jesus up on your porch. Somewhere. Dude, they keep going. It's like you're signaling we're full on Jesus over here.
we have our quota of Jesus up here.
The first year we all lived together, we kept getting bothered, and then one day somebody left because we lived around the corner from a church. So, it's just one day the guy who owned the house just foresees, like, you know what, I'm going to try this. Put the picture up in the window. Fuck, and we never got bothered again. It's like they know we're... The Lord is in this house. We can move on.
I used to have, on my old house, I'm happy with my cable company. I'm happy with my religion. Do not knock. I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? And I never got bothered. I moved into the house I'm in now, and it's just fucking every Saturday morning. They leave their fucking tracks, like, in between the door jam.
Oh, yeah.
And I Saturdays I work, okay, we'll say I work Saturday morning. I have to be at work at 10, whatever. You know, 9:30, I open the door, and I'm like, what is all this bullshit piled up at my fucking doorstep? Yeah, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop. Put
little
it in the fucking
local papers all the time on the front porch around here.
If it was that, it'd be fine. But it's fucking Christ-loving shit. And I'm like, look, I've never once answered the door when you people have knocked. Stop putting this shit here. You know what I'm saying?
We don't get them over here in
our
city.
That's what I was going with the Mormons in my buddy's house in Detroit. Because Mormons are some... They mean that shit. I mean, there's some brave motherfuckers right there.
The bike riding ones?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, they come to the hood. But here's the thing that I thought was funny.
Riding around in the suits.
Yep, and in the white shirts and the little skinny ties like it's 1982 and shit.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And they, I mean, they're serious about that. And they come
into
my
haircut
buddy.
100 is going on tour.
Yes. And they come into my buddy's neighborhood, but here's the thing I thought was funny, that it's Detroit, so there's... three white guys, one black guy. I'm like, what, you had to have your token ghetto pass so you don't get beat down in Detroit?
Yeah, it's how
like,
they
seriously.
It's foot in the door.
I'm not even joking. Mr. Washington, his next door neighbor, the black dude knocks.
Yeah.
How you doing today, sir? Blah, blah, blah. And then the white guys come in.
And then
in.
White guys.
Yep.
The old bait and switch.
Yes, because, you know, it's just like.
Hey, how you doing, brother? And now, check out these honkies.
it's hustle and flow. When the dude knocks and he's like, Mormons are some brave motherfuckers, you know? No, I'm here to make beats. It's just like that. It really is. Because that neighborhood, you don't have white people in short sleeve dress shirts and skinny ties and haircuts that are coiffed and they're knocking on your door at fucking 8:30 in the morning. It's going to get you fucking...
Is it racist I'm playing this song?
Not until you said it.
You spoke it. You spoke your racism into existence. That's what you did there.
But you know,
that's the general rule I get. Anytime you question if you're racist, you're racist.
Well, and here's the thing. I think, okay, fuck it. This is something I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
I'm really fucking tired of people not understanding what the word prejudice means.
Yeah.
It means to prejudge.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all prejudiced.
Every day, everybody's
prejudiced. You see somebody, you size them up. That's in your nature.
That's being prejudiced. Okay, that's not being racist.
It's built into your genes to say, what is this, male or female? Can I fuck it or fight it? Which one?
Well, sometimes both.
Patrice O'Neill had a skit. It was a genius skit about, look, white people, I'm going to talk to you as no black person's talked to you before. If you're in Harlem at 4 a.m. and you're walking down the street and 4 black guys with baggy clothes are walking towards you, run. Seriously. Fucking, it's better to be racist and alive than tolerant and dead. He goes, if I'm in buttfuck Alabama at 4 a.m. and I see 4 fucking white guys with shaved heads walking towards me,
yeah,
I'm running.
Take no chances.
You know, exactly.
I don't trust anybody.
So, yeah, I'm so irritated because I keep hearing this, prejudice, people are prejudiced, and of course we fucking are.
The line between prejudice and racism is when you let your initial gut reactions dictate all your behavior. You don't put that buffer in of, yes, we come from base animals that are sizing up people according to what they mean to me, you know, and if they're the different color than me, then that means that there's somebody else and not part of my tribe. But we've also evolved these amazing brains that allow us to think and understand the world in different ways and be self-conscious.
Exactly.
And it's using that part to overcome those primal urges.
I'm sorry, hold on a second. I hear banjos paddle faster. Hey, perfect example. I go down south. I have family down south. There's certain parts of the south where, and it's so weird because you see a lifted truck with a rebel flag in the back window.
With a black guy driving it?
And, well, I was going to get to that, but yeah, but no, and those are the people that my family down south are like, oh, you got to watch out for these rednecks right here. These are some fucking crazy rednecks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Like, you're scared of white people with cut off fucking sleeves in a fucking lifted pickup truck?
Right.
With a rebel flag? And they're like,
should be.
You goddamn right we are, because those are the hellraisers down here. And I'm going, okay. Now, to get to your point, I think this is a very Southeast Michigan, Detroit. I think this is a very, you only see this here. I've been all over the country. I've lived all over the country. I have never in any other part of the country seen a person in a pickup truck with a rebel flag driving down the road bumping Public Enemy, and he's white.
We just call those idiots.
No. But that is it. That is very much
confused.
A southeastern Metro Detroit thing. Seriously.
Yeah.
I have friends. Well, okay. Let me stop. I don't have friends. I have coworkers. I have coworkers who go, I can't stand black people. Yet they dress like they're Eminem. They talk like they're fucking.
I was gonna say. I mean, I blame this dude.
Don't tell me you pulling up some Kid Rock.
No, I'm blaming this for that mentality before.
Come on, that existed way before. That was going on. He just found a way to capitalize it.
No, I'm saying I'm not blaming him personally. I'm just saying this is why you got guys bumping Public Enemy with the rebel flag.
And those two things are so. Public Enemy is the antithesis of the fucking rebel flag.
It takes a nation of millions to hold us back. It's not exactly white power kind of
fear
music.
Fear of a black planet.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, they're bumping Welcome to the Terror Dome. And you know what I'm saying? They have a fucking redneck fucking flag flying, and they're talking about, it's not hate, it's heritage. Yeah. Motherfucker, you're celebrating a time that our country ripped itself apart and we start killing each other. Why are you celebrating that and calling it heritage and whatever? I'm sorry. I don't mean, tangents are our bread and butter, but that's a tangent I'm just going to leave on the table.
You know, actually, this is all kind of leading up to, earlier we were talking about what happened in Ferguson. And all these things came up, mostly race and the military came up, too. Because I'm sure, I mean, you can't get away from this news story. We don't have to go through the whole timeline.
Yeah.
And but there are some points that I want to hit on because there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense here. But how it ties into the military, we've seen a militarization of our police force. We've talked about that before, like the Vice documentary. But we saw it in action all across the nation. People were watching what was happening in Ferguson, Missouri. And, you know, for... I just say, yeah, there were riots, okay? I don't condone any of that. But even their reaction to peaceful protest was met with weapons, armored vehicles.
Yeah, fuck it, I'll throw it out on the table. You can't show up looking like you're ready to fucking invade a country as a police force to a peaceful protest and not expect... You're trying to start some shit.
Right. That is escalation.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is a signal that you're giving. Like, it's on.
And I have friends that are police officers, and I grew up with them, did some dirt with them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got the dirt on them. They got the dirt on me. And they're like, this is... But at the same time, they're like, this is bullshit, man. This is... The minute you call something a war, like a war on drugs, you're going to get fucking people who are going to sign up and they're going to fucking go, I'm a warrior. Now my job is to go to war. That's not policing. Police work is serving the neighborhood, not tear gassing people. And fucking, we were talking about this earlier. Fucking tank. What the fuck does a Warren, Michigan, need a fucking tank?
Right.
You know, really? Really?
But there's police forces all across the nation have them now. In the interest of, well, there was we declared a war on terrorism, right? And we made it clear on no uncertain terms that this war could come into our turf again. And we were going to arm our police force to deal with these matters so that we're not going to be caught blindsided anywhere in the U.S. And so gave them armored vehicles, things that can withstand IEDs, machine guns, tear gas. And they turned around and they used it on the citizens.
Exactly. And that's where I have friends who are like, man, I'm a Second Amendment guy. I should have a right to own any fucking weapon as long as I'm not a criminal. Okay, cool. Wonderful. Let's just say for a moment I agree with him. I'm not saying I agree with him, but let's just say for a moment I do. Mm-hmm. What the fuck are you going to do against a fucking tank?
I told you earlier.
Nothing.
I just want to say I went down swinging.
Well...
I just want to know if it comes to it and they turn on us, there's not much we can do, but I just want to know that in my heart of hearts, I fought back before they fucking rolled over me Tiananmen Square style.
And I understand that, and I respect it, but the militarization of the police is something that's been going on since pre-9/11, really.
This isn't new.
In major cities like L.A.
Yes.
L.A. was one of the big ones that I heard, you know, and this is a city that's experienced their fair share of riots as well, and there's certainly a lot of racial tension there. But, yeah, that was one of the first police forces to actually have a tank.
Yeah. I mean, you have a fucking tank. Instead of the turret, you have a police badge on it.
Yeah.
Really? And this is what the citizens are looking at? And it's anticipated that these are citizens who... I've done nothing wrong. I have a perfectly clean record. Mm-hmm. The minute I see the lights flick behind me, I think, oh, shit. I'm going to jail. Mm-hmm. I didn't do any... Okay, so what if I was going 5 over the speed limit and he pulled me? That's not a going to jail offense, but that's what I automatically think. I do not look at the police as helpful at all. I look at them as they're here to throw me in jail. That's what they're here. That's what they do, man. It's not that way, but it feels that way. A buddy of mine said it best. He goes, "Red, white, and blue mean freedom until you see them in your rearview mirror." And that's pretty much how I feel. Like, I see it. I never think to call the cops. Because what am I going to do? Call the cops and they're going to show up and do what? Do what? They're going to fucking come and they're going to go, what are you doing? Come here. Come here. Sit down. Keep your hands where we can see them. Motherfucker, I called you. Why are you treating me like I committed a crime? Well, we never know. We never know. What? If you treat everyone like a fucking criminal, eventually they will act as such.
Yeah, what happened? Innocent until proven guilty. Now
exactly.
It's like guilty till proven innocent.
Exactly. Exactly.
So fucking, like, right around the time after we graduated from Specs, moved out to Kalamazoo, or maybe it was while I was going there, because maybe you might remember the story while I'm telling it. Fucking, we had a brick thrown through our fucking front window because we told some motherfuckers to move their car because the house next door was having a party. You know, called the cops Friday night. They showed up Monday fucking morning. Talk about it was a busy weekend.
Oh. Really? In Kalamazoo?
Yeah, glad nobody. And this goes to things we talked about earlier. I mean, I think there's a youth bias. You know, as far as there's youth, there's class. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've touched on class before. I think youth goes with class because generally, younger people are generally poor.
Poor, yeah. Oh, you dude, know? When I drove a hoopty, I got pulled over all the time. And the cop would just walk up and go, license. What'd you pull me over for? Give me your license.
Because if I pull over the Jaguar, he knows a judge.
Exactly.
That's why.
How many times, we were discussing this earlier, I don't know how many times me and my friends were pulled over, just ask for IDs, and then let go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, when I was a teenager, like 13, 14, 15, around that age, I always hung out with older guys. So, you know, someone always had a vehicle, always, you know, drove. We get pulled over. Well, of course, I mean, honestly, looking back, you probably shouldn't have like 8 people in an escort with a bunch of band equipment, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, but still, there's nothing. Right?
We weren't breaking the law, but get out of the car, and we're zip-tied, and we're sitting on the curb, and they're fucking running everybody's shit, and where are you coming from? What are you doing in this neighborhood? What the fuck you mean I'm doing the same? We're fucking 2 blocks over. What the does it matter?
Isn't that a police state?
Yes.
When you restrict the movement of your people.
We talked about this with the Vice episode.
Yeah.
About they went to the guy and they said, what the fuck are you doing in this neighborhood? A white guy in a fucking known drug neighborhood. And he goes, what did he say? I'm trying to meet my friend.
I got a friend who's homeless and I'm trying to find him to help him out.
And they were like, get the fuck out or else we're going to fucking arrest you.
Yeah. I'm coming back here in 2 minutes. I better see you out of here.
You better be gone. Exactly. And that is such bullshit, but we take it.
How many times, especially you go outside of the area where you live and you get pulled over by a cop, it's always get the fuck out of my city.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
Get out of town, Lebowski.
Get your bull-breaking ass.
Out of my town. Fucking fascist. But no, I said, my buddy lives in Detroit. When I lived with him before, I was coming home from work. Full-on work gear. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hat, shirt.
No question what you were doing.
Yeah. What are you doing in this neighborhood?
Where are you coming from? Costume party.
Yeah, where are you coming from?
What are you doing in this neighborhood?
What the fuck you think I'm doing in this neighborhood? You think am I some like proto-hipster? I'm wearing it because I think it's going to be ironic at some point? What the fuck is wrong with you? And he goes, well, this is Detroit, and we usually don't have younger people down in this area unless they're looking for something. And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking to go fucking home. Can I get home? Is it okay? I'm not here to fuck.
I had a police officer. One night I was at a club where my friends were DJing, and I got a little drunk and I passed out at a table near the front door, and the bouncer kicked me out.
Okay.
So I went and slept it off in my car, waiting for them guys to finish up. One of them was going to drive my car back to the apartment because we all lived together. I'm passed out in my car, head against the window, mouth wide open, just snoring. You know?
I'm sorry. I'm just picturing it now. Sorry. And, go ahead.
And a cop on the window, and I'm like, oh, what? Roll down the window, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just trying to sleep it off. You know, I drank way too much. I'm not driving, I promise you. My friends are playing. That when the club gets out around 2, I'm just going to chill here, and when they get out, they'll drive. No. What do you mean? No, get out of here now.
I'm drunk, officer.
I'm drunk, and
I didn't know he's not having his buddy around the corner saying, "I got this drunk guy coming this way."
You can't hang out here. You can't loiter. Okay, but I can't go back in the club because they kicked me out. He's like, "Start now and get in your car, but start your car and drive out of here right now."
Really?
He
told you to drive drunk.
Yes, I told him I was drunk.
Jesus Christ.
And he made me get the fuck out because I was a white kid in Detroit.
You in the wrong neighborhood, motherfucker.
What it boils down to.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's how they feel like they have control over things. Is first of all, get everybody who doesn't belong in here out.
Well, second of all,
all the people who do belong here, make them afraid of you.
Okay, look, this is no bullshit. I used to, one of the jobs I worked alarm response for ADT. That's the job I had to carry the gun. Remember, we were talking about, the incident, and the guy said, the cop goes, he went for my gun.
I want to go over some of the facts of this, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, I was at Mac in 75. That was where I was dispatched out of. The parking lot of the McDonald's is where I sat from noon to 8 at Mac in 75, and I covered the east side.
Mm-hmm.
A few times, they said, "Hey, we need you to cover the west side." Okay. So I had an alarm go off in Livonia. And Livonia is, for people who don't know, It's a middle class suburb of Detroit, and I showed up, and it was like a drug store. I don't know, Perry Drugs, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah,
and there was the front door. The glass was kicked in, so obviously someone had been inside. I had multiple points going off inside. The Livonia cops are like, "Yeah, we're not going in there." Like, So you want me to go in there by myself and no backup whatsoever? No, it's probably NIL.
NIL?
Oh God!
You know exactly where what that means, don't you?
I've got an idea of the N. What's the I and L?
Yes, it means N-bomb in Livonia. It's probably an N-bomb in Livonia.
Wow.
These are the cops.
Really? Like, this you try to no think this doesn't exist, but, I mean, we're just seeing loads and loads of proof this week. It fucking does exist.
These are cops who said it without even, like, they just said it just offhandedly, like, NIL. It's probably an NIL. And I'm like, holy shit. I mean, because if you grow up around Livonia, you always, it's almost like a urban legend. Like, you hear it, and you go, no, that shit can't be real. There's no way. It is real. Flat out. Once you experience that, and then you go back and you try to deal with the police in a normal everyday environment, you go, it's always in the back of your head. This is how they fucking think. This is how they operate. Even black police, BNBG,
motherfucking face,
big, you know, N-bomb, big gun. That's, hey, you got robbed. Who robbed you? Oh no, he was black and he had a gun. He was big. BNBG.
Yeah.
You know, big whatever, big gun. Yeah, and these are black cops. And this is how they refer to this shit. And so,
well, no doubt there is a culture of this going on in Ferguson. Because there is racial tension leading all the way up to this. This wasn't just like one isolated incident. This shooting. But I did, you know, earlier when we were talking about this, we went over the timeline. I'd like to go through that on air because there's some interesting inconsistencies. Yeah. Interesting inconsistencies.
Hey, are you sure you didn't dip into the bag of beer I brought?
You're slurring awful hard there, dude. You know what would make it ultimately WT? Or Whiskey Tango or whatever the fuck you said.
Yeah.
Sorry for... We're dropping all pretense. if the bag was reusable. At least use a disposable bag. But it's like, no, I'm taking this all I can use again. That would be the...
Oh, Jesus. I do need to hit a meeting, but that's the subject for another show.
Dude, we all could hit a meeting. We would just be at a different meeting. We'd be down the hall from your meeting. We'd all meet on the same night, though, in the same church. So anyway.
Okay, so we'll go through the finer points of this. We won't go through everything, but it starts with on August 9th, Saturday. There's a call, 11:51 a.m. There's a robbery at a convenience store, and there's an officer that is dispatched to take care of it, while another officer who wasn't supposed to be responding to a call came across Michael Brown heading towards the Quick Trip convenience store. According to the police, they come out with a statement about the incident. They say that Michael Brown physically assaulted the officer. There was a struggle that Michael Brown went for the officer's gun. And then, now this is in USA Today that we're reading this timeline. One shot was fired in the car, followed by other gunshots outside of the car. So, was there a physical struggle, or did he shoot him from the car thinking that he was the robbery suspect? What? That's the first contradiction that comes up.
And unfortunately, you think like this, but maybe not unfortunately, is anything that comes from the police station is suspect.
And also...
Oh, he assaulted us.
Also, I have to say this. I do have experience with this. Police have what's called a triple retention holder. We talked about this earlier.
Right.
You have to push down, turn, and come forward with it to get it out of the holster. It's almost impossible for someone who does not know that, A, and who doesn't have the holster on them, you know what I'm saying, to do the motion. It's almost impossible for someone to get a sidearm out of one of those holsters. So
they did say that he went for the gun, not that he successfully retrieved it.
Yeah, but I mean, but, as a police officer, okay, he went for the gun, and even if he got his hand on the fucking on the grip, there's nothing he's going to fucking do.
Right.
Nine,
if anything,
out of 10
he
times.
Leaves himself open. I mean, you can pretty much put the guy in a headlock at that point.
Exactly, exactly. So why was okay? I get it. It's the heat of the moment. The officer's adrenaline's pumping. Let's say, for shits and giggles, he did go for the gun. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's say, at the same time, aren't these guys are trained to use the, in theory, use the least amount of deadly force, or the least amount of force, period, to subdue someone.
Right.
And what I'm finding is that it's not that way. You ever seen someone fucking taken down by the police? I mean, it is
like
YouTube
police
videos.
Always win.
Oh,
no
yeah.
matter how much meth the assailant has ingested, the police always win. The guy in meth will just give him a chase.
Yeah,
but the guy, it's
knee in the back. They'll damn near pull your arm out of socket. Stop resisting. Half the time, I've literally seen in front of me people being placed into custody by the police who were not resisting. Yet the police were treating them as if they were. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, dislocated fucking shoulder, knee in the neck, you know, a couple rabbit punches in the fucking, you know, in the side for good measure. And I'm just like, that person is not resisting. There's no need for that. I understand. Look at anybody listening right now, go on fucking YouTube, look up a police chase that's on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's filmed to the end, and look at how the police fucking pull that guy from the fucking car and just whoop his ass, and tell me he's resisting. No, they're pissed. He ran. How dare you fucking run from us? We're the fucking police. You don't fucking do that. They're gonna teach him a fucking lesson.
Right.
That's what this is. This is exerting power over people. And that's not what the fuck they're there for.
And that's what was so bewildering about reading this timeline is how everything escalated. It was constantly 0 to 10. Everything like just jumped to the conclusion that violence is going to erupt and I'm going to start it before somebody starts it on me.
Exactly.
Let's see. I'm prepared for the next part.
Dead air.
That's a great thing about podcasts.
What is it? A continuous loop of audio? That's called feedback.
Hey, I'm the boss. I'm not going to be walking in yelling at anybody. Plus, two, we have the crutch right now of a music bed.
There we go.
Although it's shitty music.
I was going to say, who the fuck is this? It's like
Shine Down.
Of course. I was going to say some 89 X shit.
So anyway, the next day, there's protests that erupt in violence. There's riots. Over a dozen stores are looted. There's like, I think they said 30 people were arrested. So there's another escalation. I mean, obviously there's something going on here where a single shooting can make a city erupt in violence. There's a history going on that we're not aware of.
This was the tipping point, you believe. This is
a- oh yeah.
Well, isn't there also a racial aspect to it?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
Well, they've made, so one of the issues is how predominantly white the police force is in a city that is predominantly black.
I mean, can you make Brothers apply? I mean,
you can't force people to go into. Because
I mean, my first
jobs.
Question would be like, let's see the applicants. Let's see how disproportionate this is. If it's only white guys applying, what are you going to do? I'm not saying it excuses anything.
I will say this: my buddy, who was he was a Detroit police when he applied for the academy. He's essentially, how would his racial makeup go? He's half white, quarter black, and a quarter Native American.
Isn't that like mulatto-ish?
When he applied for the DPD, they listed him as black.
Oh, yeah, they're looking for the half they can get him a check from the government.
And if you met Dave, you would never think, you wouldn't go, you're black, right? Like, you'd probably go, like, what are you, like, Mexican a little bit? You know what I'm saying? Like Middle Eastern maybe? But no, DPD was like, you're black. This is what you put on your application.
Yeah.
And I have to wonder if...
This gets us checked from Washington.
Exactly. Yeah. Because let's be honest here. You can't have an almost exclusively white police force for Detroit and expect not to catch beef for it.
Yeah.
But that's just all there is to it.
But you notice, too, no one ever talks about the white half of Obama. Everyone just keeps bringing up the black half. It's like, it's like what we choose to say. It's funny, but it's true.
Well, if you go back to the slavery days, it was the one drop rule. If you have one drop of black blood in you, you are considered black. You do have half the country that lives south of the Mason-Dixon border, so they kind of hold to their, you know, views of things. Even when I lived in upstate New York.
Yeah, but the elections proved that they're still more sexist and racist. No, because that's one angle I kept playing, because you had She Bush with McCain, you know, against Obama, and it was just like, you know what, I'm like, I still think, you know, people would ask me, said, I think Obama's going to win. I said, why? I said, because misogyny outweighs racism, because he's at least still a dude, and that's how the backwoods motherfuckers down south are going to think.
Yeah.
He may be colored, but...
at least still a man.
He doesn't bleed every month.
He don't bleed for 5 days and not die, yeah, so I'm going to vote for him.
Won't you be in the kitchen birthing babies and making my dinner?
No, come on now. This don't make no sense. You're going to have a menstruation shed outside of the White House?
Yeah. Government going to shut down for 2 weeks every month.
What's everybody going to do while she's on the rag?
Yeah.
Oh,
and we
shit.
Joke. Dude, come on. You're from down there. We joke. You know
I
how.
Know. I believe me, my family is from down
misogyny
there.
Misogyny outweighs racism.
My family, I have members of my family who look at life this way. It goes God, man, woman, child, animals.
I was gonna say dog, but no shit.
No, seriously, that's how they, like, I'm a man, I only answer to God. You're a woman,
so
you answer to
if you're
me.
You're a southern atheist, does everybody move up one?
I don't know.
It's like
I don't
deleting
know.
A fucking row on a spreadsheet. But it just shifts up one.
But you know, it, that's no shit. They hardcore. It's this is how it, for, I had my license for 2 weeks, and I'd want to drive from Florida up to Michigan, visit family. I get to a part of Georgia that's like I said earlier, I hear banjos, pedal faster. You know what I'm saying? Like it's middle of nowhere, gas station, pull up. There's an old black guy sitting on the stoop. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. And I get out of my car and I go to start pumping the gas, because this is back in the day when you could pump gas without having to pay first. And this older white guy who's older than the black guy is sitting on the stoop, goes, hey boy, go over there and pump that young man's gas. I was like,
what?
Like, boy, that shit will get you fucking killed in Detroit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yeah.
Who the fuck you calling boy? You know what I'm saying? And he was, yes, sir. And I blew my fucking mind. Blew my mind. Because I, man, yeah, I have family from down south, but I'd never seen that shit like on that level.
Yeah.
And that's how that shit is down there. You have pockets where it's very much 50, 60 years ago. It's just the way it is. And when it comes to, you know, this a gentleman who got killed by the cops, and you have to take into account where was it? You know what I'm saying?
Missouri.
Like, wait, yeah, Missouri.
Is it in the part of Missouri that they call Missouri?
Or, yeah. Or Misery. But, God damn, okay. Apparently fucking...
All right, bro, we're going to spar later.
Sorry, gentlemen, sorry. I thought I'd muted it. You have the racial part. You have the fact that you have cops overstepping their bounds. And I believe you told me that Al Sharpton jumped in, didn't he?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Which always makes for a fun time.
Entertaining.
Yes,
Al.
Yes. Once Al the Dew Sharpton shows up.
Al has fucking special interests he's beholden to.
Yeah, well.
In some way, shape, or form, every time he shows up.
It's why I love how the Boondocks handled Al Sharpton, but they didn't. It was Rilo Goodlove. Well, but it was Al Sharpton. We all knew it was Al Sharpton. He's like, I'm just here for a paycheck. That's all I want. It's like, exactly. You're here to cash in on other people's misery. Get the fuck out of here.
But I do think there are some times where we try and make too much out of a racial, out of an issue, trying to make an issue racial in this country in order to have a news story or something to talk about.
Yeah, because I don't really think this is about race. I mean, this particular incident is, and I understand that, but I mean, this
the
is...
The bigger issue that we're talking about is not race, really.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, but back to race.
Well, no, real quick. Who's the gentleman here in Michigan who he, like an 18, 19-year-old black woman showed up on his porch 4 o'clock in the morning, drunk.
Yeah, banging, looking for somebody. He didn't even open the door.
He just shot through the door.
Yeah, killed her. So, they did convict him.
No, they did. They did. But here's the thing. To me, that wasn't a racial thing. That was just a motherfucker looking to kill somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like,
found an excuse to shoot his metal cock.
The shooter was drunk, too. He was up.
Oh, he was drunk?
He was up getting drunk. Yeah. Somebody came and knocking at his door.
Okay. So
banging like the police.
It's definitely not a racial issue. It's a dumbass issue.
Yeah.
But no, but they tried to make it like into the Michigan Zimmerman. For a second, for a
he's
split
staying
second,
his ground. Yeah.
And I'm like, but it has nothing to do. Zimmerman followed a guy after he was told to stop following him.
Yeah.
Okay. This guy shot through a fucking door at 4:30 in the morning. He didn't even see what color the other person was. He was just looking to kill somebody. This is not a racial issue. But we, like you said, we tend to make issues.
Yeah, but there seems to be something that journalists and probably Al Sharpton too are responding to, and that the behavior from the police department.
Oh, well.
And so there's reports that, oh, they say they have video, there's a scuffle, they're reviewing the video. Witnesses say that that Michael Brown had his hands up when he was shot.
Yeah, you commented about that earlier. You said, hands up, don't shoot.
That was part of their protest, yeah.
Yes, that's what they were saying to the... Yeah,
and that's why. It seems like the police department has something to hide in their reaction to how the incident went down that spurned all this in the first place, and also their reaction to the protesters.
Yeah,
responding with armored vehicles, tear gas, brandishing automatic weapons. And even there were reports that we read in this timeline where they were not only shooting tear gas canisters at the people protesting, which some of them threw them back at the police.
That's kind of awesome.
They forced the press away from the incident and even shot tear gas at an Al Jazeera America crew.
So, okay, my question is, did they know they're in Al Jazeera? Whether it's America or not, did they know they're in Al Jazeera?
They had a camera. I mean,
but do you see? Okay,
somewhere like, a neocon.
Like, how come they didn't do it to a Fox crew? Why is it Al Jazeera? Maybe I'm just reading too much into it.
Maybe it was coincidence. Okay. I don't know. Or maybe they were just like, nobody watches Al Jazeera. Shoot the canister at them.
Take them out right now.
Yeah, and somewhere in the distance, Rush Limbaugh popped a boner.
Well, and in the last and most interesting protest that I heard about, which was yesterday, the citizens marched up to the city capitol building with the state troopers. There was one officer in particular, his name escapes me, who seemed to be kind of leading the charge on it and marching alongside with the protesters. And they were accompanied by, well, there's a charge of state police vehicles that were leading the protest to make sure that there was no violence that was going to happen. That was the whole reason why the officer that was marching along with them, he didn't say anything about protesting anything per se. He just said, I'm from this town and I want to make sure that there's no more violence happening.
I kind of picked up on the subtext that he was more with the protesters mm-hmm. than...
And it should be pointed out that he was black.
Up. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Anyone else think he's a plant?
A plant from and for...
State police?
Yeah.
Why?
No, just putting it on the table. Like, I generally do think he is with the protesters, but I'm saying what's the odds here of the state police?
Like a double agent.
Yeah.
So some counterintelligence type shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's like super troopers. Like the state take the locals.
Oh, God.
Littering and.
Have we brought super troopers into the discussion about hey, Ferguson?
Smoking the
it's
ganja.
A great movie. There's, you know, I can reference lots of things back to that.
I want a liter. I want a liter of cola.
I do.
Yeah, that is a great movie. Drugs cool. Real quick, just I showed my 2005. I had season tickets to the Tigers, and my same year I got married as well. And my little brother was up here for the wedding, and I showed him that movie. And you know when they're at the baseball game, gives him the huge cotton candy. Well, at the Tigers game we went to, there's the cotton candy guy.
Sugar happy.
Yeah. Move that gigantic cotton candy. He just yells it at the cotton candy guy, and he's like, I don't know, 12 at the point. I'm just like, I've never been so proud of you as I am right now. Max, I love you. You know what I'm saying?
It does get us back to the one of the major points on this story is the militarization of our police force, and it's just gotten out of control.
Yeah, definitely. When you have small towns with tanks, with surface-to-air missiles, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry. There's never going to be a terrorist threat in Garden City, Michigan. There's no reason for them to have militarized weapons like
that. This is our policy both locally and internationally, is just give lots of weapons to everyone. That's how you control everything. That's what we did in the Middle East.
How well did that work?
Oh, you feel vulnerable? Here, have some Stinger missiles or whatever. And, oh, now your neighbor feels vulnerable? Well, you can have a little bit more than we gave the other guy, okay?
Or better yet, I'm sorry. You need training? We're going to send the CIA over and train you. By the way, what's your name? Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. We'll send our CIA operatives over there to train you.
And then ditch out on you and piss you off.
Yeah, no shit, right?
And leave
you
with a decade and a half long vendetta.
And a large bank account from his family. So he had all types of money and time to fucking get pissy. I mean, yeah. So, but that's the... Hey, fuck it. It's the American way. It's apple pie, baseball, and mom. And, arming our police like they're the fucking military. And what I think is even funnier is when I see, especially when the war fatigue really set in, maybe like 4 or 5 years after we'd been in Afghanistan and Iraq, and you start seeing vets protesting, and then the cops' response to the vets, because there's videos on YouTube of it, like, give a fuck where you fucking served. I'm a fucking cop. You're going to fucking listen to me. And the dude's like, are you fucking serious? I went and fought for your fucking right to exist. You're just going to nut up on me and beat on me? That's what they fucking did.
Okay, well, then I guess we are going to wrap up episode 15. Another cheery...
Hey, episode 16's legal, that's what the lawyer told me. I'm just saying, so.
Yeah, but we're definitely, you know, what happened to the days of talking about comic books and comic movies? Now it's It's death and destruction. We rain hate and discontent.
Yes. Just rain down.
This would be a great selling point to sponsors. What exactly is your show? Well, we rain hate and discontent for a good hour, hour and a half.
Like a motherfucker. We do it real well, though.
Yeah. We get a lot of compliments on it. And I would like to thank you for listening, liking, and sharing the hate and discontent known as Unregimented on Facebook and following us on Twitter at UnregimentedPod, also Unregimented at ChristopherMedia.net. Subscribe to this show on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users can find us Unregimented on Stitcher Radio. You can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. You can help save podcasting by clicking through the Amazon banner and bookmarking the page. When you buy something, Amazon will donate a part of each purchase to the Podcast Legal Defense Fund, helping to save podcasting from those assholes at Personal Audio. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows, such as Unregimented, comes out every Monday and Thursday, the Weedsman Podcast every Friday and sometimes Tuesday. Lately, we've been having a little bit extra and releasing, calling them bonus nuggets and releasing them on Tuesday. It's usually tangents that last a good half hour. People seem to find them interesting and entertaining. So do we. That's why we put them out. Check out Eminem Question Everything. They drop every Sunday. And the Toddzilla X Pod, whenever he feels like it, Abe's been back on track the last couple weeks. So, it's been enjoyable. He blew my fucking mind. First of all, he's getting hate email, or no, hate voicemail. And second of all, he had a clip of us doing some crosstalk back from 2000, which at this point is, it's like two lifetimes ago for me. At this point, it blew my own mind. It's crazy to hear. But check that out. Whenever you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. Finally, DraftKings, one day fantasy sports. Football season, it's back. It's
thank God.
Yeah, thank Jeebus.
Little baby Jesus in a manger.
Yeah, don't even know what your shapes and colors are yet. Watching baby Einstein, but thank you, baby Jesus. That football is back. And DraftKings, I got two drafts coming up, which I'm excited this year because they're both on the weekend that they're on the final exhibition weekend. So you're gonna know who's gonna be hurt and who's not. But DraftKings, I don't have to even worry about that because every day I can draft a new team. Christopher Media listeners are winning real money. Hope they're not winning fake money. I've heard it's real. Every day at DraftKings, and fantasy football is back in a big way with their $5 million kickoff bash. They're giving away total the first week of the NFL season, $5 million. So check that out. Click through the banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Sign up today. Click through that and you can help us out. And that's about to plug a completely different sponsor for a completely different show. So, that means it's time to go. Thanks for listening to Unregimented. We'll catch you on Thursday. Peace.
Later, guys.
Bye.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.